When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What a play.
What a play. What was that audio? Was that Jared Goff? Was that Heather?
Yeah, pounding the table.
Yes. It's amazing.
That was such a fun game last night. I'm sure Colin enjoyed the game.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't even here. He watched it with some friends, so...
Oh, so
I'm sure he did.
That was audio.
I didn't know when he got home.
That was audio of you after putting the kids to bed. That was you in the living room.
Heck yes, it was. Uh-huh.
He went 18 of 18, threw two touchdowns, and caught a touchdown in the game. He was perfect. What's the stat? The most completed passes in a game without an incompletion in NFL history?
Yeah.
Ticket Texter says, can we get an updated quarterback rating from Tom? He was throwing darts last night.
Yes, he was. He was good. He was great last night. His updated QB rating is a 14th now in the league, up from 22. QBR improved from 24 to 22. QBR is still sagging down a little bit. It must be that safety late or something.
Well, and I think
so. Those are the updated facts. I mean, you know, people want to hang something on me because I was critical of a quarterback that threw four picks in three games.
They're just giving you a hard time.
He played better. He played like last year, and I came in, I said, they got their swagger back last night.
Yeah, for that last one, and I always get them mixed up. He's got to throw more touchdown passes instead of handing the ball off and watching somebody else run in instead of catching them himself.
Right.
Like, that doesn't do anything to his ratings. Right.
He played like the guy that deserved the contract last night.
It was surgical, right? So a lot of it was yards after the catch. I'm not going to ding him for it. He put the ball where it needed to be. It never touched the ground. They were humming. What was it? Six touchdown drives in the middle eight possessions of that football game?
He wasn't forcing anything. He wasn't, what did Dan Campbell say? He was trying to do too much? He wasn't trying to do too much last night. He was allowing Ben Johnson to call the offense, and then he was taking what was there. And whether it was Amon-Ra St. Brown as a dump off, or and there were plays like he gets spun around, and on that play where everybody, he gets spun around,
he's
and then he completes
the opposite way. Yeah,
Sam LaPorta is the only reason that ball got off, because he moved to the left of Jared Goff, and the defense knew. Mike McDonald is a really good defensive play caller. As soon as that happens, they bring the blitz from the opposite side. Sam LaPorta recognizes it instantly, comes across the front of Jared Goff, gets a hand on the defender. The defender spins him around. If he doesn't do that, that's a sack, and it changes that moment of the game, and who knows what happens after that.
I thought LaPorta was critical last night early in opening up the entire offense.
Yep.
And that's the LaPorta we've been missing all year. And to me, he's the balance that keeps the running game going, even if maybe you have offensive line issues or injuries. And I thought Awosika was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And was a second start now, right? NFC Championship game was the other start. The first half offense when he has started has been outstanding in both of those games.
To the point about LaPorta, they got him involved a little more in this game, four catches. Goff completed 18 passes. He had five different guys catch two or more. Like, that's the level of, hey, I'm just going to distribute the ball. Call me a check down Charlie, game manager, whatever. I'm going to be surgical, precise. And the offense played their best game of the year. They woke up. It's what we were calling for. And they did it in a big spot. We talked yesterday, John, hey, got to win this football game. 3-1, keep pace, challenge for the one seed. Ticket Texter says, how fun is this? When they need to show up, they show up. I'm proud of this team. That's Wissam and Fenton.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was everybody. You two of those, a guy that had two catches, under the radar. I think it was only like two total of 13 yards. Brock Wright.
Yeah.
Brock Wright had a really good game as well. He made himself available when his number was called, did what he was supposed to do, but in the run game, he was terrific.
Ticket text pouring in. This one says, I'm happy with the win against a team we've struggled with, but Arnold's penalties are concerning.
I get frustrated with NFL officiating, and it's really NFL rules. You're playing against one of the most physical receivers in all of football. And it's not just the way that DK Metcalf plays and the player that he is. He's terrific. It's also, you know, all of the other guys. It's Lockett, the forgotten guy. It's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. It's their tight end. They all play a physical style down the field. How are you supposed to defend that with the current rules?
It's
to me, it's every single defensive player, whether it's a defensive lineman, it's a linebacker, it's they're all the rules are stacked against them. And trust me, as an offensive player, I'm okay with it. But as a fan, I'm looking at it going, this is ridiculous.
It's so tough to play corner. So they want to play a lot of man. Carlton Davis was victimized with some calls too. If it's going to be ticky-tack, especially a rookie is going to have a hard time because, John, you have to stay with them, but you can't grab them. You have to arrive on time, but not a tick early. It's really tough for a young corner. I'm nowhere near a panic with Tyrion Arnold. It's certainly a theme.
Sure.
It's consistently him getting penalized multiple times.
He's going to be just fine.
I feel the same way you do. 248-539-9797. And I know we'll get more calls and texts on the defense today. It's not the headline. The headline is the offense is back. The headline is you won by 13 points against the 3-0 football team. The headline is you played a fun, badass football game on Monday night. I think if you're hung up on the defense, we could talk about the defense, but if you're hung up on the defense, I think you're trying to be miserable today.
It's primetime golf.
And it's primetime golf. How about this? This stat explains exactly how fun this was. Goff had more receiving touchdowns than incomplete passes. What? We'll get to Dan Campbell's locker room audio before the hour's done. We'll sprinkle in a little bit of Tigers, but the story today, where our bread is buttered, is Lions football. Jump in, 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather in the news.
Well, you guys, that 13-year-old Taylor girl who stabbed her 7-year-old sister to death has been charged with first-degree murder, as well as felony murder and first-degree child abuse. Wayne County prosecutors say that the sisters got into this argument about flushing the toilet on Saturday afternoon. So the 13-year-old was babysitting, right? So parents were not home at the time. She was babysitting her little sister when she found a note left by the 7-year-old in the bathroom that basically said, hey, make sure you flush the toilet. It was for everybody in the house. Like, just reminding people, like, come on, flush the toilet. Well, it sounds like the teen took the note, which then led to this tussle in the kitchen. And then about 30 minutes after they kind of went their separate ways, the 13-year-old allegedly came out of her bedroom and attacked that little girl in the bathroom. It's really devastating and horrendous when you read the details. Two different knives were used in this attack. The teen ended up calling her stepfather and 911 after all of this went down. She cooperated clearly with the authorities who showed up. There had been no records of any complaints with police to this family prior to this incident. This little girl is going to be charged as a juvenile. It sounds like the state will have more than 7 years of, you know, treatment, rehab, diagnosis, until her mandatory release at 21 if she is convicted. If you were a Verizon customer, you probably experienced some service issues yesterday. Customers in Metro Detroit reported service issues in the morning as part of a larger nationwide connectivity problem. The company says the problems lasted several hours, and according to some data, more than 100,000 customers reported having these issues. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just here in the metro area. It was in Chicago, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, Omaha, Nebraska, kind of all over. These issues have been fixed. So today you shouldn't be running into any issues if you are. Are either of you guys Verizon customers?
No. My wife is. She was not affected, but there were some other individuals that I, you know, talk to frequently that yesterday I'm like, dude, where are you?
Yeah.
Wait, you and your wife don't have the same phone plan?
No, she was.
That's interesting.
Well, she had her own. She's obviously got her own number.
Yes.
And she had her own plan before we met.
The blue wall doesn't allow that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
A little confused. But the other thing that people were saying is you need to make sure your Lions tickets.
I'm maxed out on my phone plan with the kids.
Oh, you have a big family, John.
Yes. Teddy does not have a phone, but yeah, I have to communicate with the other ones.
But just the Lions were telling people, make sure you had your tickets pre-downloaded. Because if you had gone to the game last night as a Verizon customer, you may have had an issue. I know it affected a lot of people.
You should do that no matter what.
Yes.
Like even it, because there's sometimes when I get to the venue, whether it's a concert or a game, and just because there's so many people in the area, like there's sometimes I have issues getting my tickets for things. Yeah. Like it's always a good idea to do this, whether or not you're experiencing phone issues.
Yeah. And everybody sends out plenty of reminders. I know Michigan does. I know the Lions do. You get one basically every day leading up to it. You haven't downloaded your tickets yet. Do it before you get there. You don't want to have any issues.
Yep.
I know.
Sad news here. Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has passed away, 58 years old, after losing his battle to brain cancer. His family revealed 2 years ago that he was undergoing treatment in Atlanta for a brain tumor, and the NBA said that he passed away surrounded by his family. He played 18 seasons in the NBA before retiring in 2009. He was an 8-time All-Star and a 4-time Defensive Player of the Year.
You kind know of a surprise. 58.
Oh, was just shocked.
Yeah,
and for those that watch him, like you remember how much of a shot blocker he was, and it was always whack the finger, right?
Yeah.
And so they had that Geico commercial.
Not today.
And, it was that not today. No. And like I always play the Geico commercials for the kids. You know, it's the Hump Day one. It's the Mutombo one. And Teddy runs around the house whenever I tell him no. He runs around the house now wagging his finger, no. And so he was a guy that was literally was generational.
Yeah, obviously the other big sports death was Pete Rose. Yes. He passed away 83.
Lots of deaths recently.
I know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Heather with the news. All right, we got more Lions to get to coming up next. Get your phone calls in, 248-539-9797. How do you describe what you watched last night? It's 97.1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm on Ross St. Brown talking about J-Mo high-stepping, celebrating with the fans. 70-yard touchdown, one of the many fun plays in that football game.
And how about a team, one that's good, but also has some characters on it? And we got all over J-Mo, and rightly so.
Early in his career.
Early in his career for things that were not, you know, okay, wasn't productive, wasn't doing the things that we wanted to see on the field. But now that he is, we are celebrating his personality, as we should, and he's doing all the right things. And we've celebrated, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Montgomery. They all have their own calling cards and their own personalities.
J-Mo paying tribute to Calvin Duncan. Mm-hmm. I know he got a penalty for it, but Duncan on the field goal posts. His personality is infectious. I think he feeds off the crowd maybe more than most players do, and sure. I think the crowd appreciates him more than they do most players. It's a great relationship he has with the city. I thought that was a culture win for the Lions, right? I mean, we talked about, hey, this is a big spot, a team that's got your number. You're without Ragnow. Didn't look like they missed him. 42 points, 6 touchdown drives in the middle 8 possessions of that football game. And it was, I love the tone early. Hey, you're down some guys in your front. We're going to bring extra offensive linemen in. We're going to run it down your throat. 7-minute man ball drive all the way down. And then in the red zone, in the goal line, David Montgomery once. I didn't get it. David Montgomery twice. He didn't get it. Hey, there's no surprise, guys. Yeah. We're going to pull the guards. We're going to put the extra tackle in. He's going to get it eventually, and he did. He runs hard, but then Gibbs scores 2 touchdowns, and it's clear. This is the best running back duo in the NFL. Yeah. Once they did that, Seattle's reeling, right? Well, we got to commit more resources to the run game, and Jerry Goff just picks them apart. Doot, doot, doot. Dink and dunk, dot after dot, 18 for 18. Perfect. Ball never hits the turf. He catches a touchdown. He throws 2 touchdowns. This was getting their swagger back offensively. This was going into the bye, taking care of business. It was taking down a nemesis. It's a culture win.
It is. It was one of those hurdles that, okay, in the last few years, there's always been that hurdle. And at the end of the year, it was obviously San Francisco. That they'll have a chance to get over that hurdle at the end of the year in the regular season. That'll be in San Francisco. Dallas, we've talked about that hurdle. Mm-hmm. Seattle was kind of the first one. And whether it was Stafford in week one, and there's a lot of different things that the Lions could do, but they've already conquered the Stafford thing. They did that last year. And now the big one was going to be, can they beat Seattle, a team that has had their number every single year that Dan Campbell has been the coach of this team? This is the best chance that they had to beat them, because defense is improved, offense is improved. We just had to see it. They had to go out there and do it, and they did.
It's a revenge tour game.
Sure.
You know? So that was not, I know
there
you
might
hate
not
the
be
word.
Anything more that I hate did, more than the whole
of
revenge.
Chase Winovich, I get it. But reality is that the top three were Seattle, and then Dallas, and then San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
So check number one. Big shout again to Awosika last night, but also Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
And those were two depth issues that we all had concerns with, offensive line depth and receiver depth.
And didn't that feel, when he caught those balls, like very Josh Reynolds-esque?
Yes, I just said that to Greg. I thought, because I asked Greg, did you watch every single play last night? You know, we all have kids and we get distracted and stuff, but he said, yeah, and I said, Tim Patrick had a really nice game last night. He goes, yeah, and he goes, Josh Reynolds, a little different in some ways, but even the blocking down the field on one of the runs was just everything you want. It seems like he's fit in perfectly. Hopefully he can stay healthy, because that's been his problem.
Yeah, actually, Jared on the ticket text says the check down to Montgomery, he put Wolin on his back. It was unbelievable. The downfield blocking by the receivers, that's part of the buy-in, right? I mean, there's other teams where the receivers don't want to do the work down the field. It's ingrained in who the Lions are. I mean, J-Mo had a hell of a game. He got a game ball from Campbell, and it wasn't just because of the 70-yard play. He highlighted the blocks just like you did early in the show, John. It's a culture thing for this football team.
It is, and that's the way Amon-Ra. That's the way
J-Mo.
No, but the receiver coach
Patrick Randall L. Your
Randall
guy.
Randall L. Yeah, that's the way he played the game. You know, Frank, when he coaches that offensive line, that's the way that he played the game. You're starting to see the players play in the image of their coach. And when, what did I text you guys right before the game started? Injuries and those that are not playing should be the sideshow. If Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes have been able to put together a team in the image of Dan Campbell, I don't care who's going to be called to play on any given day. You're not on this roster if they don't believe that you can go in and contribute, with one exception. That's James Houston. I'm still not really sure what he's doing or why he's on the roster. And we may have a decision on that here in the coming weeks.
I think you're right about that. You can't be committing multiple penalties. You're hardly playing as is. You don't get to the quarterback. They were reluctant to even have you on the game day roster. If not for an injury, you wouldn't be dressed. Probably shouldn't have a roster spot. Yep. No, I'm with you on that. You know, it's funny because the game's going on and I'm more active on social media, so I'll tweet out thoughts throughout the game. And when J-Mo scored the 70-yard touchdown, I said, the offense is back. The immediate response to that was, so is the defense, but the defense is bad. They can't tackle. I'm like, are you guys, you want to be miserable? They're up 15 points in the fourth quarter. They win by 13 points. You want to be miserable? I understand you want them to win every game by 100. This team has won with defense for the first couple weeks of the season. The offense was the thing we wanted to see get going, and it did in spectacular fashion. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be hung up on the defense. Well, I know they gave up a bunch of first downs, but at the end of the day, they got stops in the fourth quarter.
Sometimes fans, sometimes media will relish in negativity.
I'm not going to do that today.
I'll say right now, 45 minutes into the show, the ticket texters are far more negative than anything that we've said so far.
Why?
Because it's just the way, I mean, first off, that's ticket text to a degree. It's a little social media-ish, but at the same time, look, you have to realize that, first off, once you get a 14-point lead, and they kind of held serve the rest of the game, the second Seattle would pull within a score, the Lions would go back up, you know? They lost a defensive starter on the line, a defensive starter and the linebacker, and a defensive starter in the secondary.
Playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Yeah, exactly. And while they didn't look great, they survived, okay? It's a work in progress. That's catastrophic to a defense sometimes. That's the thing. Losing a player every single tier of the defense,
yep.
That's almost like if you lost two interior linemen, it wouldn't be as bad as losing that. So I think the adjustment and fitting in, like Rodrigo last night, I almost feel like the Seahawks didn't take him serious when he got that.
The blitz sack?
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, but he made a play, and it was important.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be a work in progress. They need Brian Branch back. I think they can survive everything else. Jack Campbell, I thought, might have won the game last night
early,
forcing that fumble.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of reminiscent of previous losses of the Seahawks where Goff would have the interception for a touchdown, that catastrophic turnover that would swing the game. I mean, these two teams, let's just face it, sometimes a team has a team's number, and the Seahawks just are a problem for the Lions.
They are.
Lions' defense. Yeah. Sure, but yeah, that's the key, is right, just outscore them then. And Campbell has said this. They want to be able to win different ways, and I think that is the true mark of a great football team is, hey, sometimes you're going to play a track meet like last night, and you got to score 42, and they did, and they put their boot on their throat, and they never stopped. Sometimes you have to win the way they did against Arizona the very prior week. You're on the road. It's going to be low scoring. Your defense has to strangle them. They've won both ways a month into the season. They're 3-1. Guys, I can't really do the complaint routine. I mean, there's stuff to nitpick. I feel good about this team.
And you just got to make one more play than they do. And with DK Metcalf, correct me if I'm wrong, he's really good.
Yes, John.
And he's really big. Even on that play where he fumbled, they were struggling to get him on the ground. He is a monster. And you just have to make one more play than they do. So when that happens, they're going to make some plays. You just make one more than they do, and you come over and you attack him with violence. That's what Jack Campbell did. He knocked the ball free, and all of a sudden, it changes the course of the game.
All right, we're going to bang out some phone calls next. 248-539-9797. Your thoughts, your reactions. I said it's a badass game. You can label it however you'd like, a culture win, whatever phrase you want to use. It was fun, though. It was a fun game, and it was maybe a sigh of relief for people who are sad about the offense. We'll talk more Lions football next, 97.1.
When I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. When I needed plumbing, they showed up. When I've needed electrical, they show up, and they've got all the best equipment and prices. But I think the biggest difference is their customer service, plus that 5-year warranty I got with the unit so that I know I'm covered. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even have generators. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation, including same-day service. If you want more information, you can find it on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
Point win, not bad for the Lions. And the defense, which is going to take some heat today, closed the game forcing a punt, turnover on downs, which you just heard, and an interception to close things out.
And just before that play that was a fourth down incomplete, Alex Anzalone should have had that interception.
Yeah, hit him in the hands.
If that happens, why they play defense. But if that interception happens, I think that in and of itself may change the conversation defensively for this team, because you have the interception by Kirby Joseph, which was an unbelievable catch. You should have had another interception.
They forced a fumble.
And yes, forced the fumble, but it also would have not allowed the safety, because instead of getting the ball, you know, inside the five, you would have had the ball out at the 20.
My point is, I know people are going to be like, but the defense, Aaron Glenn's defense against Seattle. Sometimes the team has your number, but I also don't think the defense played as bad as people are making it out to be. Three straight possessions at the end. Offense scores 42. That's the headline. You got your offensive swagger back. Let's get to the phones. Mike in Harrison Township. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. Got two things for you. Number one, David Montgomery. Got to be the best running back we've had in 20 years. Maybe comparable to Barry as the best of Lions all time, but I mean, that one play he had where he just stuck Witherspoon and went on for another 25 yards, that just got the crowd going. Another thing there, we got, defense gave up three to Kenneth Walker. You know, we made big plays. Malcolm Rodriguez outside got a sack on Geno Smith. Jack Campbell forcing the fumble on DK, and then obviously got the Kirby interception. I'm not mad at the defense for giving up the points because they've been carrying us all game. Obviously, that's something we can improve on, but I'm just ecstatic about that all-around win at the end of the day.
Mike, so you kind of referenced it there, got the crowd going. Were you there?
I was not there, but okay. I mean, me and my buddies get together every Lions game, about eight of us. I mean, it feels like we're there by the by the amount we're screaming.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the best. Is, you know, we were talking to people at B-Dubs before the game, because we do the Lions tailgate out there, and fans are doing a little pit stop before they go, and you could tell, like, fans are on a mission when they go to Ford Field. Like, they expect to win. They're going to be loud, and then the team, they lit the fuse early, and that fire burns for 3-4 hours.
Oh, it certainly does, and the way that the offense operated and the way that the defense, when they had to make a stop, all right, Seattle comes out in the second half and it's three touchdowns on three possessions. And how many times have we mentioned this third quarter with this team? But the offense came out firing. They matched every time. And then it was as soon as, you know, the Lions went up, was it 35-20?
Yeah.
It was...
That was the JMO play.
Yep. Punt, turnover on downs, and interception. The defense did what they had to do.
Absolutely did what they had to do. Ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. Lions offense was pure octane. The best game I've ever been to. It was a must win for many reasons, and they answered the call, John in Flint. Goff stepped up big time. I'm just waiting for the first idiot to say, but he's not mobile in their whiny voice. Dave in Warren. He's a triple threat, John.
Yeah.
He's mobile Goff.
Yeah, and he can also first catch down with his feet, and he's a receiver.
And by the way, great throw by St. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He put it where it needed to be in a bucket, and Jerry
dropped
Goff
right over the top.
You see him leave that, was it a linebacker in the dust?
And it kind of felt like, I've watched that play, you know, 10 times since last night. Is that a little high step in the end zone for Jared Goff? I think maybe he was just like, hey, I don't want anybody to fall on the back of my legs more than anything, but yeah.
The first thought in my head after I got over the sheer fun of that play was...
Where did the ball land, by the way? Because he chucked that thing up into the stands. Where did that ball land? If anybody was there, because they didn't show it on TV, was that an upper decker?
It might have been. My thought was, I can't wait to hear Doug and Scott talk to Goff this week.
Oh, I know.
Like Carson Anderson, what's the play call? Did you know you were getting it during the week?
Oh, yeah. Should we name that? Like, okay, they had Shake and Bake. I know he let that one out. That was the hook and ladder.
Yeah. I don't know what this one was called, but I can't wait to hear what he says to those guys because he has a good relationship and he opens up with those guys. Let's get back to the phones. Jeff and Grosseal, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, gentlemen. What I really want to talk about is the culture change. I hate to compare them to the dynasty of the Patriots, but to me it's like we don't have second strings. We don't have backups. Now it's like who's next? You have all these people that are injured, and we filled it. We filled the hole. Everything was great. I love it. I absolutely love it, and I'm totally not worried at all about the defense.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a culture thing, and I'll build on it. It's Oseka stepping in. I think that's probably the first guy that comes to mind, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Brock Wright, like you guys talked earlier, you touch on Brock Wright. Did he get many plays? No, but was he there? He was absolutely there, and we're so used to hearing Sam LaPorta. He stepped in, and he played great.
Yeah, I'm with you. Jeff, it's a really good point.
Yeah.
Texters have echoed that Awosika is an unsung hero early this morning, and they say, John, I'm sure you can appreciate that effort.
I mean, what did I talk about yesterday? When Jonah Jackson went down last year, in the NFC Championship game, it was a conversation point of who is going to step in against this unbelievably great defensive front that the San Francisco 49ers have. Did anyone have a concern at the end of the game? Now, obviously, they lost the game. It wasn't because of Awosika.
No.
And now, all of a sudden, Frank goes down. Oh, my goodness, we lost a Pro Bowl center. All right, Graham, you've played center before. You're in your, 11th season?
Is he really?
You've done it. You've done it in Detroit before. You did it last year.
Yep.
Awosika goes in. Like, let's not hit the panic button. And I think last night was a great way to prove that this team, this franchise, players have been acquired by Brad Holmes. And I think it's amazing that Brad and Dan did not know each other before they were paired together in Detroit. There is no one that identifies talent better, in my opinion, than Brad Holmes. But it's also the talent and it's the culture, it's the individual that he is putting with Dan Campbell. And he understands what the players need to be able to do, and that is step in and step up when called upon.
Okay, so Ragnow, if he comes back, and we do think he's going to come back and play this year, with Awosika's performance and Glasgow filling at center, would they dare toy with a rotation to preserve Ragnow?
No,
because of rhythm, right?
Yeah.
With the center?
No. No, Graham will go back to left guard. Awosika will go back. Now, but here's where, okay, Jonah Jackson. At some point, you knew he was going to get paid. I didn't want him to get paid here in Detroit, so you move on. At some point, Awosika is going to have more opportunities. Somebody else across the NFL is going to say, you know what? That's who we want. And maybe Zeitler,
I was just going to say,
he's old.
Veteran.
Graham is old. Maybe he is the guy that just simply steps in and does get paid. He's not going to get a Jonah Jackson contract, but could you see him as a starter here next year?
Well, it's a huge, you know what it made me think of? It, Hank Fraley, O-line coach.
Yeah.
Needs to, he gets attention, he gets love, more love, because I think it's hard to develop offensive linemen today, John, because they just don't practice the same way they used to. These developmental guys they've drafted, it gets me excited that they may be able to fill in the gaps as the line ages, because it's so important that this team maintains dominance up front. And Awosika's a guy who, he was a nobody. I mean, if you remember Hard Knocks, it was like, is he going to make the roster? Yeah. And here he is. He played the NFC title. He played last night, Monday night, and there wasn't a drop-off.
And it excites you because one of the questions we had was the depth of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Still a little bit of a question, simply because, okay, you're using Awosika. Frank comes back. All right, he goes back to a backup. But what excites me is we haven't seen Christian Mahogany yet. And when he comes back, or is at least eligible to come back after the bye, what are we going to see from him?
Ticket Texter says the Lions are 3-1, and left-handed Jesus is taking the mound in the bottom half of the first in Houston. What a time to be a Detroit sports fan.
Left-handed Jesus.
We'll sprinkle in some Tigers. I know it's a playoff day. few thoughts on that in the 7 o'clock hour. More of your thoughts on the Detroit Lions. Some takeaways from that football game. I called it a badass game. What word would you use to describe what you saw on Monday night? It's 97.1.